Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our short series of studies, The Rewards of Humility. And today, we wish to speak of the humility of station. Let's go through those titles again. The humility of salvation, the humility of station, the humility of service, and the humility of submission. If you like alliteration, you have it here. Salvation, station, service, submission, in that order. And I think it's a logical order. We, on our last broadcast, considered the parable of the publican and the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee who thought so much of himself that he spoke in glowing terms of what he was in the presence of God, as if to console God that he was fortunate to have such a good man on his side. That's sarcasm, but I think it's deserved. He spoke so well of himself. And then the publican came into the presence of God and would not lift up so much as his eyes, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord Jesus said of these two men, this is his pronouncement, I tell you, that man went down to his house justified. And that is the reward of humility. If we will take the place of a lost sinner, and we've got to be lost before we can be saved. Does that mean that I have to go out and if I've lived a perfectly good moral life, does that mean that I have to go out and do some sinning so that I'm a lost sinner? No. We're lost as we are. And we need to be found. We need to be saved. We need to be the sheep that the shepherd, the good shepherd, finds. And so this man received that wonderful, wonderful blessing, wonderful, wonderful reward of humility. Now today, we wish to speak of the humility of station, and we're going to be turning to the Gospel of Luke again, chapter 14. Here it is that the Lord told the parable. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked out how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come say to thee, give this man place. And thou being with shame, begin with shame rather, to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, and when he that bade thee cometh, he may say to thee, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Now the Lord's pronouncement, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is God's edict. This is God's law. This is God's rule. And we see it carried out in the broadcast today. And we want to take the example, the supreme example, of one who aspired to hold the highest place. It's found in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 14. We'll begin reading at verse 12 of that prophecy. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, Satan, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the sides of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Does this remind you of the Pharisee? I think the Pharisee had the same thought in mind. I think he was a child of the devil. Now, there's something very remarkable about this. Satan uses the personal pronoun I five times. Do you know that the Pharisee used the personal pronoun exactly five times in exalting himself? They were taking a place that God had not been pleased to give them. Satan was ambitious to the point that he raised a rebellion. We read of Satan, we will have to go on. He says, I will ascend in the heights, in the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall look narrowly upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Now, the man in mind here is the king of Babylon. But the prophet was addressing the king of Babylon, but he was addressing the power behind him. The same thing happened in the case of Peter. You remember that Peter on one occasion rebuked our Lord Jesus. When the Lord said, I must go to Jerusalem and there be crucified and rise again, Peter began to take him and rebuke him. Lord, this will not be unto you. Do you remember what the Lord said? He said, Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest of the things that be of men. Now, I thought Peter said that. Ah, God goes to the source. It was Satan that inspired Peter to say that. And it was Satan that inspired the king of Babylon. And so these words, though addressed to the king of Babylon, they refer directly to Satan, that beautiful angel. His beauty is extolled in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. And he is the supreme example of the one who aspired to the highest place, but he was brought down to the sides of hell. He aspired to a station that God was not pleased to give him. Now, that's the example of what that is a supreme example of our parable today in the 14th chapter of Luke, about this man that was in charge of the wedding and placed the guests where he wanted them. You know, God is sovereign. He places us where he wants us to be. He placed Satan, that beautiful angel, in a place where he wanted him to be, but he got out of his place. He wanted a higher place. Now, when we take the low place, there is a reward. And the supreme example of this is none other but our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Philippians chapter 2, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here is this supreme example of one who took the low place. But what do we read next? We read in verse 9 of this wonderful chapter, Philippians 2, Wherefore, because of this, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now this is the reward of our Lord Jesus' humility. He took the low place, the lowest place in all the universe, nailed to a Roman gibbet, nailed to a cross. He took that low place for you and for me. He died for our sins so that we could go to heaven if we want to. And I'm going there because I'm taking him at his word and I place my faith in him. And I know that he has saved me and he'll see me through to that place. But listen to these words. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He took the lowest place. Now he's given the highest place. That is his reward. You know, the disciples on one occasion, James and John, came to our Lord Jesus. This is recorded in Mark chapter 10. We will not turn to the scripture. They came and they wanted the highest place in the kingdom. They said they came to the Lord for a request. And he says, What is your request? Well, they said, We want to sit with you, one on the right hand and one on the left hand in your kingdom. The Lord told them, He says, It is not mine to give that place out that belongs to my Father. Even Christ did not usurp his Father's place. He was always the eternal Son of the eternal Father. And he says that is his place. Now the other disciples were very displeased with James and John. But they had a lower place that God had prepared for them. Now, for instance, in Luke chapter 22, the disciples all came to the Lord Jesus on one occasion, the 12 apostles. Verse 28, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, James and John are going to sit on one of those thrones, 12 thrones in that kingdom, judging the tribes of Israel. Now, this is a lower place, but it was a place that was worth taking. Why? Because God ordained it that way. God is sovereign. When will we see that in our lives? That he is sovereign. Now, we are unique. He has saved you and me, those of us that have trusted the Lord. And if some are listening to my voice who have not yet trusted the Lord, that is your privilege. He belongs to you just as much as he belongs to me. Will you claim him? Will you believe that he died for you? Will you accept the blessings that he gives to those that will simply put their trust in him? Now, he has a unique place for me, and I've tried to occupy it. He has a unique place for you. Do, please, try to occupy it, but don't go higher than you should. Paul, in the 12th chapter of Romans, encourages us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Take the place that God gives us. Many a young lady has had to choose between, young wife has had to choose between the alternative of following her profession or being a mother. Listen what happens to those that choose to be a mother. She brings a child into the world, perhaps several of them. Those children may develop a potential that far outweighs her. And it has been said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Never look in disdain on a mother. God has given her a place, a very high place. Now, to be practical in all of this, let you and me try to seek the place that God has given us, and don't hesitate to serve in a low place, because God may tell you, come up higher, I've got something better for you. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for these examples of this supreme edict of the Lord. They that humble themselves shall be exalted. God grant it, for Christ's sake we pray in his name. Amen.